Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host and the producer of Right Here, Right Now is Andy Lowe. Good morning, Andy.
Dr. Tim, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. You and Vanessa had a great time last week in my absence.
We did. You know, we tried not to do too good of a job. We wanted to make sure you could come back and give people something to look forward to.
I appreciate that. And as you're aware, I called her just before airtime and said, you know, this is the anniversary of your first time on air.
That's right. It sure was.
And she did mention it.
She did.
And the irony is that I got to thinking I was in Akron last year at the same time, seeing my mother-in-law and my older son. I guess it's something I do the last week of April.
And now we've got a tradition going.
Now we have a tradition going. Well, I'll tell you, it's good to be back, but it's always good to know that you and Vanessa have the show well under control. Well, our guests today are Marie Antoinette Burrell, owner of Talk Text Mobile Messaging Solutions, and Doug Grady, president of High Achievers Network. Each has engaged in their respective professions for many years, and recently, each also made the simple decision, which is really not all that simple, to write a book with the intention of generating a wider reach and greater impact for their businesses. Doug's book is The Ripple Effect. He made that simple decision, or not so simple, to write that book, and we're going to learn some more about that. Doug is president of High Achievers, along with being the owner or co-owner of three additional companies. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow. Doug describes himself as an entrepreneur along with being an accomplished musician and professional speaker. And as I said, Doug's book is The Ripple Effect. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you, Tim. I'm not putting my best suit for radio. I'm not sure why, but
It makes you sound better. And you notice I kind of get dressed up a little bit, too, to remind me that we're serious here.
Absolutely. You look great.
I appreciate that. Well, let's begin by having you tell our listeners about High Achievers. What is it, and what does that company do?
That's a great question, Tim. High Achievers is actually a 14-year-old company, started in 1998 by two men, a man by the name of Jeff Leisner and Tom Gundrum. Tom brought me into the business 4 years earlier, and we started out as a seminar company, working with some of the top speakers and success coaches in the country, people I'm sure you've heard of. Our listeners have probably heard of people like Jim Rohn and Brian Tracy and Jack Canfield, some great authors, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mark Victor Hansen, Les Brown. I mean, a whole bunch of just great, smart, extraordinary business people, leaders, and otherwise. We would put these programs together, hire the speakers, and we'd put anywhere between 500 to 1,000 people in a room. And that's how this company began. That was its beginning. We've really evolved the company into more of a training and development company. So we've got all these speakers that we still have relationships with, and we've got an archived library, what we call an achievement library, that we give to our members once a week. We release another program to them. And really, we're really committed to helping people get through the core of who they are, help them make better choices, not just professionally, but personally as well. And my belief is that if people are really lining up a choice or series of choices that help them support a lifestyle of achievement, then everything else in their life's a lot better. So our mission, very simply, is to help people embrace a lifestyle of achievement through training, development, programs, challenges. You know, the list goes on and on.
Wow. You were brought in, but now you're the president. Did you stage a coup?
I sort of. I say that like that.
I say that because I bought the company from the founder of Right Choice Services.
That is a similar story, Tim. It was 2002. I joined the company as a salesman. I had a relationship with one of the owners. He asked me if I wanted to come out to California and help him promote the business. Seemed like a great idea at the time. A couple years later, I worked my way into a minority equity stake, and about, I guess it was 2006. Now, the turn in California happened a little bit differently than it did in the Southeast. 2006, things started to shift out in California. One of my business partners was out. The other one wanted out. I had a minority partnership, and I ended up buying the company through that series of happenings, and by 2007 was the full
owner,
and have been since that time. Yeah.
Isn't that fun? And you've taken it beyond what they ever dreamed, right?
Well, I've taken it a different direction, and I'm really excited about that direction. The direction is really getting into just what I call the core of people, getting below the surface of just strategies and skills and techniques, which I find are very important. But with the strategy, skills, and techniques, you might make another sale. You might make a better business plan. You might even make a better business. But beneath it all, if you're the same person, ultimately things will never change in the direction of reaching your full potential. And that's what our company's committed to, is really helping people reach the core of who they know they can be but aren't quite yet.
I like that. I like that. And before we went on air, you and Andy were talking about Ironman competition. That's core. That's going beyond what you think you can do, right?
Well, Andy's an Ironman. I have not done an Ironman, and I'm very impressed by that. We were talking about something a little different, but I've not done an Ironman.
Yeah, but you've done the Tough Mudder, and that's quite an accomplishment.
Well,
too.
I've actually done three of those. Yep. My first one was, December of 2010. Was my first one. And I remember this so vividly, Andy. I was in the gym, and I just was maybe 2.5 months back into a recommitment to exercise. And somehow nobody invited me to do the Tough Mudder. Nobody challenged me. Nobody said, hey, you should do this. I saw it on a website, and I thought, that sounds pretty cool. And I was by no means ready to do this thing. And I remember having this conversation. And by the way, I registered. I paid $150 non-refundable deposit, and said, I'm doing this thing. And I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine at the gym. I said, hey, man, I'm going to do this thing called the Tough Mudder. It's about 14 miles. It's got 18 obstacles. You go through a lot of mud, under barbed wire, jump over fences. There's this thing called electroshock that shocks you. He goes, man, I'm not ready for that. I said, you know what? I'm not ready for it either.
But
that's why I registered. that's kind of how I roll, man. I like to see something that I'm not ready for, throw my hat in the ring, and when we do that, when I do that, it just automatically demands more. I bet when you register for that Ironman, did anything happen to your workouts?
Yeah, it changes
things. It shifts it automatically.
It shifts everything automatically. I mean,
automatically.
You know, thinking about just your book, I mean, this is core to the essence of success, right? I mean, once you make that commitment, your thought processes and your discipline and your habits, they all shift. They have to.
Yeah.
And it's just making that commitment. So many people wait for, I guess, conditions to be right.
Oh, yeah.
But they're never right. You just make the commitment and you start moving towards something.
Well, I've been there. I mean, if people wait for the spirit to move them. I think Tony Robbins says, you know, if you start moving, the spirit will go with you.
That's so, right. That's,
you know,
right.
We got to just, I have found that when I'm just waiting around for inspiration, that nothing happens. But when I just get busy and take action and do things, make just one simple choice. That's the subtext of the book. When you make one simple choice, a lot can shift in your life. So for me, one of those simple choices was just registering for this crazy run called the Tough Mudder, and a lot of things changed as a result of that.
Well, tell me then, how about your writing journey? How did the ripple effect come to life? Was this something, just another goal you needed to do, or what?
That's, you know, Tim, I never had a goal to write a book. The ripple effect was nothing more, nothing less than a reflection of a climb out of a very challenging place. I was physically out of shape. I'd been 5 months without exercising consistently, and I never knew just how important that was for me to exercise. When I look back at my life, when I'm at my best as a man, I'm consistently challenged by intense physical exercise. And when it's been missing, other parts of my life start to unravel. So I allowed a hip injury to be an excuse for not working out. And I say an excuse because, are there things you can do to work out without a hip?
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about it. I allowed it to become an excuse. I was 5 months. I tend to have this sort of all or nothing mentality. If I can't do it full on, why bother? So I sat on the sidelines for 5 months. Meanwhile, my business was losing money. My energy was depleted. I was tired, flabby, weak. My relationships were suffering. You know, this was a good day.
I like that.
You know, so for me, the simple choice for me and what became the book eventually was one simple choice to exercise 30 minutes per day for 30 consecutive days. Now, what I did is I just started to notice all the stuff that showed up in my life as a result of that one simple choice. And it was, I tell you, this was not an easy thing for me. I forced myself to look at, okay, what's different about my life today? Because I worked out that would not have been there otherwise. And it might take me a little bit, but I might say, well, I got a little more energy, or I had a slightly different conversation with this person today, or maybe I got up a little bit earlier, or maybe I didn't have that fourth cup of coffee because I knew I had to work out later and I knew it'd deplete my energy. Maybe I shifted something else. And I would just every single day would force myself to look at what's different about my life. And slowly but surely, I started to make other choices. I started to get up earlier consistently. I started to eliminate certain things from my diet that weren't helping my energy. I ended up starting to work out with a trainer, which really took my body to the next level and shifted my energy and my focus. My conversation started to change. And if you and I, you're in the conversation business, we're having a conversation right now. If our conversations are off, if I'm in a sales call or a business meeting or a speaking engagement and my conversation's off, everything else is off as well. And what I found when my energy got better, no surprise, your conversations get better as well. My business started to shift. I started to catch up on some of the debt. I started to turn this massive ship around in such a way that I could see a little bit of progress. And
I'm sitting here laughing internally because Andy and I were talking beforehand. I don't know if you've noticed, I've got a back brace on.
I did see that.
I've got a bulging disc. And I've had it, we seem to think, for at least 6 weeks. The first three of those weeks, didn't even know it. So what was I doing? I was out walking, jogging, running, doing all kinds of things. Now that it's diagnosed, am I doing any of that? Oh, no. And here you are telling me, so, I have this hip. I can't do this, but I can do that.
Right.
You're preaching to me, fella. And I'm going to have to go out and do some stuff here.
Well, I don't mean to preach. It's more of sharing my own testimony.
Yeah, well, no, I
he's providing a ripple effect.
Yes, he is. That's exactly it. And I'm thinking, oh man, this is great. So how did that get to the book?
How did we get into this little thing? I guess I didn't really answer that. Well, here's what happened. I ended up publishing my first article. It just happened to be October 31st, 2010. And I called it the ripple effect. And all it was just, here's where I was, here's what I did, and here's what I noticed. Mm-hmm. And I just took sort of a catalog, almost a journal of basically the choice that I made and all the stuff that seemed to follow. And wrote, it was maybe a 3 or 4 page article. I posted it on my WordPress blog site through High Achievers. And it just seemed to resonate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I never really set out to write a book. I set out to get myself out of this very challenging place that I was in.
Okay.
And there were a lot of people along the way that helped me. The writing helped me. One of the commitments I took on, Tim, I think I was about 2 weeks into it when I took on a commitment to make 30-plus phone calls every business day to help grow my business.
Wow.
I committed to go 3 to 5 networking meetings per week to grow my business. And somehow I got it in my head, I'm going to commit to writing 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And so I made a 60-day commitment to write 20 minutes a day no matter what. Now, you've written quite a bit. You've written several mm-hmm. books. You teach people how to write. I'm going to not tell you anything that you don't know. If you're waiting, I'll speak to the listeners out there. If you're waiting for inspiration to write your book, it may never happen. If I would have waited for inspiration to write this book would never have been written. This mm-hmm. book was written, yes, I was inspired, but this book was written out of a commitment. It was written out of a choice,
mm-hmm.
whether I liked it or not, to write for 20 minutes per day, no matter what, during this commitment. That's how this book got written over the course of about a year plus.
Well, what I like about it, and I'm holding it in my hand. We always say that if I've got it, I'm holding it in my hand since no one can see it. I opened it up and I ran into a section which you write about wrestling. And as you and I shared before going on air, I knew you talk about you had this guy, you were down to the last 30 seconds and he wound up pinning you. And I knew the move that you described because that was my brother's favorite move. My brother was a state champion wrestler. And you asked me, did I wrestle? I said, not in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't do that. But I share that simply to say this book is filled with personal stories of things that you did, like falling down when your dad said to you and your brother, come down the mountain. You won that race, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. Fell about 15 feet on my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you came out of that.
I came out of that through a series of what seemed to be coincidences that my mother says was a miracle, and or two. For all purposes, I could have easily died through that, and so the book is not. I want to make this really really clear. The book is not about me. Everybody's got personal stuff. It's how we relate to our personal stuff that causes our lives to be fulfilled or our lives to be a complete tragedy. Mm-hmm. And my life was really going in the direction of a tragedy when I started writing this book.
Okay.
And, you know, I was, like I said, I was physically out of shape. My business was hemorrhaging money. I had a horrible attitude. My relationships were suffering. I had people that knew me intimately saying, you should probably get out of this business and go get a job. I mean, this was a place I never wanted to be in. Mm-hmm. And think about the irony, Tim. At that point, I'd been in the so-called self-help success business for 16 years. I know I'm an intelligent, experienced man, and somehow I ended up in this quagmire of mediocrity, wondering how I'm going to pay my rent. I was actually 8 hours away from pawning my last personal possession, my car, in hopes to catch up on some of my rent. This was less than 3 years ago. So that's not in the book, by the way, and that's not something I've shared on on radio.
That's volume before. Two. That's
but,
volume two.
You know, it was just out of, seemingly, and it was just an answer to prayer. I had a buddy of mine call me the night before I was planning on pawning my car and saying, hey, man, how about you come work out with me at this boot camp tomorrow morning? I said, yo, man, I'd love to, but I got to go pawn my car. Mm-hmm. You know, not a real pleasant conversation. He's like, I got a better idea. How about I move in with you and help you pay your rent? I said, look, 3 months up front and you're on. And so that was another, it was just now that also wouldn't have happened without just making this shift, this choice, and being open, being ready to be helped. And so this book is about life lessons. It's the first phrase in the book I heard in a sermon at church, and the phrase is this: so often we want to be rescued from the storm, we don't realize that it is the storm that rescues us. That's the book in a nutshell. If people are going through failures, regrets, heartaches, tragedies right now, hey, thank God that's happening. I thank God it happened to me, because without it, I wouldn't be the man I am today. I got rid of a lot of crap in my life that didn't work, and I'm closer now to being the man God made me to be than I've ever been in my life.
That's great. I was about to ask, how was writing a book had an impact on your life? But we just got that answer. How's it impacted your business?
Well, most recently, I just got back from California, and one of the men who endorsed this book is named Andrew Kroll. He's the CEO of Kroll Wheaton, which is one of the largest full-service financial firms in California. He hired me to come in and do about an hour session with his 40-plus managers, and that was just fantastic. The next day, I was the keynote speaker for the mayor of El Segundo's Good Friday Breakfast. So if you would have told me, you know, a year ago, hey, man, you're going to have a book and be the keynote speaker for the mayor of El Segundo's Good Friday Breakfast, I would have thought that you were nuts, you know. And so that was a really just incredible validation that this is the path that I should be on. It was a great experience. One was a training, one was a sort of a keynote, but they were both in the lines of just helping people make more powerful choices, helping them relate to their so-called failures in a more empowering way, and helping them to create consistent breakthroughs in their lives and their businesses.
Well, what wisdom would you share with other business leaders or entrepreneurs who are considering writing a book?
Well, the biggest thing is it's not about inspiration. You got to just get down and do the work. Don't expect it to write itself, unless you want to hire somebody for $20,000, $30,000 to write it. And you can do that. That's an option.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote every word of that book, and I did it out of not so much out of inspiration, but out of commitment, out of choice, out of taking the time. There were days that I would literally sit there. There's a short vignette in there called Do It Anyway. And Do It Anyway, Tim, comes from the infamous words of my father when I was a kid. I would say things like, I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to eat this broccoli. I don't want to chop this wood. All the other such menial tasks. And my father, his immortal words, of course, were, do it anyway. And so,
and you did, didn't you?
And I did. Back then, I did it anyway because I had to, because of this authority figure in my life. But these words stuck with me. There were so many times, whether it was exercise or writing or making the calls, when I just simply didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I just simply was too tired, too irritable, too frustrated, had too long or too wonderful or too this or that of a day. But I'd hear those words and said, look, I made a commitment. I'm not a liar. I'm going to do it anyway. So mm-hmm. I would sit there. I'd be late for a dinner meeting, Tim, and I'd be at my computer, and I'd say, okay, I said I'm going to write 20 minutes. I would look at my clock, type another word or two, look at the clock again, but I did it anyway. And when I did it anyway, particularly coming from a place of frustration and irritation and being tired and being broke, mm-hmm. you know, when I did it anyway, it just gave me more confidence. When you honor your word, it changes your relationship to yourself. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I just continued to do it anyway in the face of not wanting to, it gave me strength. It gave me momentum. And then I got to what I call this third level of integrity. I started to actually at times enjoy it. I started to enjoy the workouts. I started to enjoy the writing. I started to get inspired more often. The writing at times became less, not always,
mm-hmm.
but at times That's became right. less effortless.
Sure.
At times they became, you know, I'd be inspired instead of 5% of the time, maybe 10 or 15 or 20% of the time, maybe 30, sometimes spouts of 80%. So that's how you write a book. You do it anyway, whether you like it or not.
And you
just do it anyway.
Well, people, if they want to be in contact with you, ask you about your writing, get a copy of your book, how do they do that?
I appreciate you asking. High Achievers is very easy to find on Facebook. I've got a business page for High Achievers, business page for Doug Grady. The best way to connect with me immediately is to go to highachievers.com/blog. Sign up for my blog. It goes out once a week. This blog actually, in essence, became the book.
Okay.
This was a discipline for me. I blogged at least once a week, and a series of edited, organized blogs became this book called The Ripple Effect.
Great. Well, I'm assuming you're going to be willing to sit around while I shift and interview our next guest, and then
sure.
when I'm done interviewing her, we're going to open up the mics for conversation.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Marie Antoinette Burrell is president of Talk Text Mobile Solutions. We do not say that three times fast, do we?
Well, you can say it three times.
And you founded TOAD. I like this. The Texting Organization Against Distracted Driving. You have experience as a marketing sales executive, and what I'm not clear on is you served in healthcare management in the Air Force. Does that mean you were a member of the U.S. Air Force?
I was active duty for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most beautiful women I've run into have been in the Air Force.
Always.
Always, always, always. Well, welcome, Marie Antoinette.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
It's great. Well, let's begin by having you tell our listeners about Talk Text Mobile Solutions. What is it and what does the company do?
Our company is a mobile marketing company. We provide things like QR codes. I see you have a few on your business cards and mm-hmm. one over here. It's like the barcode that you scan to get information. We develop smartphone applications. Most people have a smartphone these days. And we also develop text messaging campaigns. You text the word so-and-so to, you know, a number to get information, and mine is Queen. Text the word Queen to 46786 if you want to try it out.
Oh, that's slick. And you develop that stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
How did you get into that?
My story is a little parallel to his. I started working for a text message marketing company, and the guy thought that I was doing really well, so he asked me to become the director of the company. And from there, I wanted to branch out to do other things. This was back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that mobile was really coming on the scene. You know, companies like Coca-Cola and Disney have been using mobile services overseas for a very long time. And things like smartphone apps, we were hearing more and more about Apple. I mean, Apple was actually introduced in 2009, in 2008. It seems like it's been around a lot longer than that. But smartphones were becoming so popular, I decided to go back to school to get some education. Mm-hmm. So I got a graduate certificate in social media planning and mobile marketing services.
Oh, my goodness. You did it right, huh? So what's TOAD?
Well, TOAD is the Texting Organization Against Distracted Driving, like you just said. It's a nonprofit. We're a 501c3 organization, and we teach students, youngsters, basically, to use technology responsibly. They are going to be the leaders of technology. In another 10, 20 years, we'll be doing so much with technologies, from services as far as like surgeries to banking to, you know, even turning our cars on and off. I know we've all seen that commercial where the guy starts his car with his cell phone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so those type of services are going to be more common day for us, you know, in the next 10, 15 years. And so I just felt like this was a futuristic industry to get into. And so when it comes to Toad, I know that the youngsters of today using cell phones, you know, most of them sleep with their phones.
Yeah.
The average teen sends about, you know, 2,500 text messages a month. So these are types of things that they use on a daily basis. So I wanted to be a part of educating them to use technology responsibly. Because once they get older, you know, companies will be doing things like Googling. You know, now mm-hmm. you almost have to give your Facebook information, you know, for a company to hire you. So mm-hmm. Mobile services and internet services are going to be so integral in the future that I wanted to be a part of teaching them to use these type of things responsibly now so that when they're older, they can get a job. You know, they...
Well, is that how Terrence Texter emerged? Talk to us. That Terrence Texter, Adventures in Mobile Phone
Land. Yes, Terrence Texter is a texting turtle who likes to do things like read his emails while he's driving and send out messages while he's driving. And as we know, texting and driving has become the number one killer of teens. So I figured if we start before they even get a cell phone, you know, almost like Doug was saying, you know, the things that you learn when you're younger, you never forget them. So I wanted to start educating them at a very early age about the dangers of texting and driving. So Terrence Texter, he drives through the community on his cell phone, and he almost injures a citizen, and he damages some property in mobile phone land, and the queen of mobile phone land is Miss Toad. She has to step in and set some new rules and guidelines for mobile phone land just to keep everyone safe.
Have you had parents say to you, know, we got this book, we read it to our kid, and he's reminding me not to text?
And
as
that
I drive?
Is the entire point. I want the backseat drivers, the ones in the car seats, the, you know, 5, 6, and 7-year-olds to say, Mom, don't do that. Because essentially they're learning some of the bad lessons from their parents and their, you know, brothers and sisters that are driving.
Sure they are. Now, what's fascinating for me is, you know, Doug wrote a grown-up book, so to speak.
Right, right.
And here we have a children's book. I will not even attempt to write a children's book, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the toughest book to write.
Really?
Because you've got to say so much in so few words,
mm-hmm.
and in really not just in the number of words, but the vocabulary is exceedingly limited.
Yes.
And there it is, and this is your first book, right?
It is actually my first printed book.
Oh, there you go.
I've written about 6 or 7 books, and I wrote them for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never published a book before, and then when I started the nonprofit, one of my really good friends was like, why don't you write a book for this? And I was like, oh, my God, that never even crossed my mind. And so I set out on the adventure to write a book. I love children's books. I love words that rhyme anyway. So
there you go. I kind of sense that. I don't know why. Just in the way you talk, there's a rhythm. There's a pattern there.
Oh, is it?
Now, who did the illustrations?
I actually paid to get the illustrations done. I'm not a illustrator. So
okay.
I paid a service to get the illustrations done.
I picked a good one. I think they're great.
Oh, well, thank you.
What's your hope for this? Now, you want backseat drivers.
I want the backseat drivers. I want the young kids from kindergarten up to change the world. That is my entire intent for the book. And then for the organization, I would really like for our organization to become a global organization. More people use cell phones overseas than they do in the United States. There are about 280 cell phone users here in the U.S., but it's 4.1 billion worldwide.
Oh my.
So when we talk about using mobile technology, I mean, this is, and the issue of texting and driving is a worldwide issue. It's not just a U.S. issue.
Well, as you talk about that, I have this image, this flashback. I used to live in Ghana, West Africa,
mm-hmm.
and 4 years ago, I took my two sons over. So Joel was born there, so we spent 10 days reacquainting him. He was 14 months when we left. But at any rate, when I got there, first time I'd ever been there in a long time, in which cell phones were everywhere.
Everywhere. In Africa, they use cell phones to do things like to get their water. They use cell phones to pay for services. They use cell phones, of course, to communicate, but they use mobile applications a lot more intricately than we do. Mm-hmm. There's actually one of my favorite apps is a mobile app that tracks health. So what the people in Africa do is, like, for someone with diabetes, they take their numbers every day and then they enter the numbers into their app, and that information goes directly to their doctor. So their doctor gets to monitor their health daily without even being there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, see, and not only when you talk about that, I've been in some serious bush villages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just bush,
mm-hmm.
crashing through the pucker brush, if you will.
Right, right.
And there's a cell phone.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Now, when I lived there, there was always a bottle of beer. Probably still is, but now it's the cell phone. But I say that because as a white person, I had to drink safe water, and the safest water in a bush village is a bottle of beer. I drank more beer as a missionary than I ever have in my entire life. What was it like for you to write the book? Was it a challenge? Now, you said you've written a bunch for your kids,
right,
and they haven't published them. So writing comes easy for you?
I mean, oddly enough, I probably can write and rhyme better than I can write a book like Doug. I mean, when you say, you know, sit down and do it, I can rhyme words. Maybe I should have been a rapper. I don't know. But maybe I can rhyme words a lot easier than I can, you know, just writing a blog. It literally takes me 3 days to write one of my blogs, but I can sit down and write a book in maybe a span of hours.
Wow.
I'm hearing a challenge. I'd like to hear a freestyle a little bit since we got her on the microphone. Let's
I'm not a rapper.
Well, what strikes me in that is, man, have times changed. Back when I was a kid, anybody who could rhyme would be the next Robert Frost. Now, anyone who rhymes wants to be the next rapper.
Lil Wayne, there you go. From Robert Frost to Lil Wayne.
Well, the difference is how much money you can make, right?
Exactly, and Lil Wayne is rich. So
that's right.
And this is Business Radio X,
that's right?
We're all everything's about business. So what was your, you've talked about the hope for your book. Do you have other books on the horizon? Are you going to get those other ones written?
I wrote a series, and the series has already been written for Adventures in Mobile Phone Land. We have Terrence Texter, and then we're going to have Cedric Cyberbullier. I'm working on the illustrations for Cedric Cyberbullier, and we all know how much of an issue bullying is in schools. I mean, bullying has been around since day one,
mm-hmm.
you know, but kids choosing to bully on mobile devices is almost idiotic because it can be traced, you know, and then that information can be used in court. And so they've taken it to the next level. And then I also wrote another book called Sassy Samantha. And that is a sexting book because sexting is a very paramount issue in middle schools, even, you know,
mm-hmm,
young
mm-hmm.
kids are taking new pictures of themselves, sending them around because they just think it's cool. So that's going to be the series.
And it's going to be there forever, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have two brothers that work for the GBI, and one of them is a forensic specialist. And
uh-oh.
What he does is he collects, you know, your phones and your computers, and he goes through them to help build a court case against you if you were to get in trouble, you know, for doing those type things, whether it's cyberbullying or sexting. And when I tell you that it never leaves, it never leaves. So that picture
wow.
that you send out, and even if the person erased it and you erased it, it's still there. It's still there.
Somebody has it.
Oh, yes.
Now, you have two children.
I have two children. I have a college student. My son goes to Georgia State. He'll be 20 in November. And I have a high school student. She goes to North Atlanta High School.
And what do they think about mom's writing?
Well, they're so used to it.
Because
growing up, my son had asked me a question when I was pregnant with my daughter. He was like, well, now that you're having a baby, what's going to happen to me? And I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, well, do I have to leave? And I'm like, no, you know, we're just making the family bigger. And so then I wrote a book in reference to that talks about, you know, the scariness of
mm-hmm.
do I have to leave just because, you know, someone else is coming in the family.
Wow.
So they're accustomed to my writing.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, what wisdom would you share with other business leaders who are considering writing a book?
Well, I would almost piggyback off of Doug and just say do it. Because writing a book now is basically like a business card. You know, so it just gives more information about your subject or
mm-hmm.
you or, you know, whatever it is that you're writing about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in business and you don't have a book, it's kind of like, why don't you have a book? You know, so I would suggest just do it.
I like that. I didn't pay either one of these, Andy, to say what they've said this morning. even though that's my business, helping people write books. Isn't it wonderful what they do for us?
Well, I'm wondering. I mean, you know, we'll find out eventually if you are paying guests, because they keep saying great things about you, and now I know where to get my cyber searcher to go and find out the real story about Dr. Tim.
Uh-oh.
Dr. Tim is cool. I researched him before I came.
Well,
you've been vetted.
Okay. People, I was going to say I lost control, but I'm not sure I ever had it this morning.
Control's an illusion.
That's true. So folks want to be in contact with you and ask about your writing, your business, Marie Antoinette. How would they do that?
They can send me an email at info@toadd.org or info@talktextmms.com. We're on Facebook. Toad.org. Also, the Queen of Texting is my Facebook tag.
Toad has two D's at the end of it.
Two D's. T-O-A-D-D.
Okay. All right. Well, let's open up the mic, so to speak. I know when Doug was talking, you were just nodding your head up and down. You were praising the Lord and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Doug's been making notes over here. You guys got questions for each other? Or Andy, you want to weigh in?
You know, I always weigh in.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
You invited me to do that.
That's right. I did.
So, Maria, I have a question for you. Just regarding, you know, you mentioned that that texting is one of the number one killers of teens these days.
Yes.
And this is a children's book. How do you hit the in-between market? I get how the kids backseat, you know, talk to the adults. Mm-hmm. How do you reach that teen market?
Well, the teen market, what I do is I go out to schools and I speak to them about texting and driving. But what I like to do is fun things. Kids, to me, measure what they want to do by a fun meter. If there's no fun, they don't want to be included. And so we try to have, you know, very interactive fun things to do. Like, we're hosting a safe summer block party at South DeKalb Mall on May the 19th. And there will be a scavenger hunt. We're going to have texting games. So I try to reach the in-between the students with fun and interactive things. Things that will help them to remember the lesson and not feel like they're, you know, necessarily being preached at. A lot of times people come to the school and they're like, don't do that, you know, do this. And so I try to use like text lingo and text games to teach the lesson.
Well, you know, that fun thing doesn't just apply to teens. I mean, I think that applies to everybody. I mean, you know, Doug can probably chime in on this, but, you know, with fitness journeys, I think popular fitness activities in recent years have tried to incorporate some level of fun. So it's not just running. You add 18 obstacles to an 11-mile run.
And a shock. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Electric shock. Like, what?
Electro shock therapy is what they call it. Yeah, and it's these guys are, you know, they're massive. They have 2.2 million fans on Facebook. They came out of, they're only, I think they're less than 2.5 years old.
It's like 2 years or something.
Two, 3 years old. And so, yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, I think that's what we're striving for as an organization. I think people want to be engaged in not just the training. You know, we talk about training with our company because we have some great training programs. We train people how to network professionally, how to sell more effectively, how to read people. But, you know, really nobody wants to be trained. Nobody really wants to go. You know, nobody's saying, Tim, can you help me find some more training on sales?
Right.
Nobody says that. There's mm-hmm. so much. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was the CEO of Google. He said that there is more information now put out in a 48-hour period than was put out from the beginning of time
yes.
to the end of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? I mean, nobody wants to be trained. I want to help people consume less information, not more. So right. when you stick them in a gym, and you go have them work out with my trainer, or I take them on a run, or we do a little training for a Tough Mudder, and then we talk about their life, and we talk about, well, do you feel differently now that you've engaged your body, and do you think you might learn differently? You think you might take on your next phone call a little bit differently because you're, I mean, that's what I've strived to be an example, and that's what I strive to teach people to do. It's not about a bunch of information. It's about a lifestyle. Can you embrace a lifestyle that's more consistent with the person you know you can be, but you're not quite yet? And that's what that mudder does, man. It's a microcosm of lifestyle. For 3.5-4 hours, you're going to live, breathe, sweat, drink mud until you either finish or quit.
And the mud is the fun part.
And I'm not going to quit.
The mud is the fun part, yeah.
So if I cannot quit on that thing, maybe I cannot quit on my business. Maybe I cannot quit on my relationships. Maybe I cannot quit on this sales call. Maybe I cannot quit when I get smacked in the face by this guy who doesn't want to buy from me. You know, so that's what that's not training, man. That's getting people in their gut. And that's what that mudder does, and that's what we want to do with High Achievers, is get people in their gut, get them off their butts, and get them embracing a lifestyle that can be consistent with the person they want to be.
And you, Marie, are hitting that at the younger level, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Oh,
you know,
yes.
With Doug's The Ripple Effect, what can you do to make changes now and have a long... You're trying to start that effect
at
early
a very
on.
Early age. I mean, there are so many things that I remember, you know, when I was younger, like, you know, it's a bill, it's only a bill. That's how I learned about government.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Conjunction, what's your function?
Right, exactly. Oh, that's how goodness. I learned about sentence structure, you know. So I want to add that element. I want that. Our kids watch a lot of entertainment. And in that entertainment, if we add a teaching element to that, then we can actually change, you know, some of who and what they are.
Have your characters been, have they been in video form yet? Is that something you might do?
No, that is one of my dreams. I would love to have a live mascot to go to the schools, and I would also love to do like a series of commercials or maybe mm-hmm. even a series of like short cartoons in the sense, you know, so I can have that effect of it's a bill, it's only a bill, you know, so when they're in the back seat, they'll say, you know, I don't want to die, so don't text and drive, you know.
Uh-huh. Whoa, there we go.
It is.
We got it.
Give us a baseline.
Took us a while, but we got it out of her. That's great. Well, you know, what I'm hearing between the two of you, and I resonate with, you know, Doug, your dad taught you just get it done or just do it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you force yourself to sit down and write 20 minutes a day. And Marie Antoinette, you tell us that it takes you 3 days to create a blog and you can whip off these rap things like right now. But it takes determination.
Oh, yes.
It takes determination. You know, as people who are serious writers will all tell you, if they're being honest, they don't approach the desk with a smile on their face and
right.
a song in their heart.
Right, right.
They go there and they get going. Maybe the smile comes and the song appears, but it is work. It is a task. It's an obligation. And we've got to get it done.
Oh, right? Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, I'm going to throw this out before we run out of time today, because Marie obviously busted out with her lyrics and talked about song, but Doug's an accomplished musician as
Uh-oh.
Well.
Oh, let's
and,
hear some.
And uses a lot of music to get his message out.
You want me to bust out
yeah,
with my
man.
Song?
I told you you should have brought the banjo today.
I knew where that was going.
Let me read about Miss Toad here. If you see Miss Toad hopping down the road, she'll be sure to say, "Wear a smile on your face, text with taste, and be nice to each other each day." Those are not my lyrics. Those are Miss Marie Antoinette's from Terrence Texter. Mine go more along the Johnny Cash.
Oh, I love Johnny Cash. Oh my God!
It was a beautiful morning one Saturday as I began to make my way to do this thing they call the Tough Mudder. Well, I trained for it and I could hardly wait, but I guess I did not anticipate this was no ordinary run, my brother. We were crawling through mud and under barbed wire, jumping over walls and running through fire, swinging like monkeys, all kinds of crazy stuff. By mile three, I was battered and bruised. I had 5 pounds of mud and rocks in my shoes. I guess that's why they call this mudder tough. But I'm one tough mudder.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that well. You got him in there. That's
great. The first time I've done that without the banjo now. So,
well, you know what? With that, the clock is on us. We welcome your comments and suggestions about content and about our guests. And if you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Just send me an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Andy, for handling the sounds, the controls, and poking him to kind of sing for us.
This was fun today.
It was, wasn't it? And thank you to our guests, Marie Antoinette Burrell and Doug Grady.
Thank you, Dr. Tim.
Marie, your contact information again.
Yes. Well, you can text the word QUEEN, QUEEN, to 46786, or visit us at www.toadd.org.
And Doug, your contact information.
You can email me, Doug@highachievers.com, or just go to Facebook/highachievers.
Great. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's spelled W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week and tell your friends about the show. I encourage you to send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to our downloads. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern Time at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com. And the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison. Join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.